Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The holidays are fast approaching. You know what that means. It's time to eat, drink, and fight with your family. For a limited time only, we're offering custom-built crates built by the hands of Adam Carolla himself, with maybe a little help from the lackeys and Olga and the twins. Head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com now to pre-order the perfect present for the holiday. What's included? A custom signed and built box from the Ace Man himself. A custom, if you're offended by Christmas, shirt. A signed Christmas card from Bald, Gina, and Ace. Two stemless Carolla drinks glasses. A bottle of each flavor of Mangria, a bottle of 33 Cabernet and Chardonnay, a Carolla Drinks ice mold, a Mangria tote bag, plus a Carolla Drinks wine stopper designed by Wolf Island Design Company. For a limited time only, this $300 value can be yours for only $200, and we'll eat the shipping cost. So for the Adam Carolla superfan and your family, head to CarollaChristmasCrate.com and pre-order now. And remember, if you're offended by Christmas, have some Mangria and shut the f up. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rob Schneider and Kyle Dunnigan. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of blah, blah, blog. And now, he's been hiding the elf on the shelf. And by hiding, I mean putting it down and getting so drunk that he forgets where the hell it is. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Get on, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for giving us a nice rate and review on iTunes. We do enjoy that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I'm drinking, woman!
Rob Schneider in studio.
How you doing, Adam?
Excited to do many things with Rob. I have a question for him.
Yes.
Yes. First, I will tell you about this half of the show brought to you by Simply Safe at simplysafe.com/app. Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show. Castrol Challenge hashtag over there. BetOnline.ag, podcast one. See that as well. All right, let's see. I got a bunch of homework here. You guys tell me what you think of this concept or comment, and then we'll figure it out. Where are we going to be tonight as you hear this? I guess we'll be at the Anaheim Grove, right?
Yeah.
Up on stage. We're going to be up there with Rob Riggle, and we're going to do Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So show up. We'll give you some ping pong balls, and we'll get going with that. First things first, I had a lot of bleeding. Thank God I have my Styptic pencil.
You and me both.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a difference.
I know. I was flossing this morning, and I said, am I going to bleed out? What the hell just happened? What did I just cut?
I started to put together a theory. So I was at the other shop. I was going to shave. I opened the drawer. It had the old school disposable, I think, twin or single blade razor, the ones we used our entire life. We didn't have the nine blade and the quattro, yeah. And the first one lifts and the second one separates, and the third one lops it off. Like, remember all those commercials?
Third one threatens.
Threatens.
The fifth one says sorry.
Tell your friends.
The fourth one busts a bottle over a countertop and yells, come on, Whiskers, bring it.
It's a good cop, bad cop situation.
And now I just went with the old school one, and as I was shaving, I realized I was a bloody mess. I'd nicked myself several hundred times. The Styptic pencil, not the stiff dick pencil, Maxipad, a Styptic pencil is the salt stick, and when you get those nicks that'll never stop bleeding on your face, you rub that, sort of wet it down a little, and so rub it, and it cauterizes it. It burns a little, but it seals it up.
That's how you know it's working.
It burns a little.
A little.
Burns a lot.
Burns a lot, but it works.
Literally salt in a wound.
Yeah. So, yes. So, I thought to myself, what's going on? And then I thought, what has changed about my face that I'm now bleeding so much when formerly I would use these kind of disposable razors from age 17 to age 34. I just used the same crappy disposable whatever. And I thought, what's going on with me physiologically? And then I realized it may not be me and my old skin. It may be muscle memory. I may be going at it with the same pressure, the same speed, and the same vigor I do with the five blader that causes no problem.
You got nine blade hand.
Right. I got nine.
Elasticity in your face, probably a little bit. A
little bit of that.
How dare you?
Collagen.
But also, I think I'm just going at it with the same confidence and vigor that I formerly did with the five or six blader.
Yeah, because shaving was a little scary when you first start shaving.
No, you were very careful.
Yeah, that's
especially
right.
Where you shaved, you were very careful.
So good point.
All right, now, Rob Schneider, I don't know how well you know Jay Leno.
Yeah, you know, you think about Jay, you know, I've known Jay Leno a long time. You know,
I like his, he's got two moves, basically.
And
then he talks like that. But, no, Jay was a super nice comedian. And literally, like, I was driving him in my car, like, when he was doing a gig. I had a manager at the time. And like, I was literally, like, just had about 6 minutes of stand-up material. And they said, go pick up Jay Leno. We booked him at a gig, blah, blah, blah. He's doing a theater. And so I did. I picked him up. I said, have a sign. Know where you're going. So I did. I picked him up. And then I had the sign. And he said, I took him right in the new right to go. He said, hey, you know any Chinese restaurants? Any place we can get some Chinese food? I said, yes, Mr. Leno. No, the best place right here. I took him there. He said, come on in. You want to eat? You know, and then he was eating. He didn't want to eat by himself. I said, so are you a comedian? What do you think? What do you think? And I said, yeah, I'm a comedian. How much time you got? I said, about 8 minutes. He said, good. You know, when most people ask how much time we got, comedians say, I got 2 hours of time material. I got 2 hours. Who wants to hear 2 hours of comedy material? All you need is 20 minutes to become a star in L.A., and that's it.
So 20. He has a, if he was a soda fountain, he'd have a small and a large. He doesn't have a medium, right? He goes high, and then he goes, and then he drops it down. That is funny.
But he gives you, you know what I loved about him and other the great comedians, you know, like Seinfeld too. They gave you advice that you could use. You know,
right.
It wasn't like mysterious. Just get 5 minutes to kill anywhere, everywhere. If you don't have that, you don't have anything.
Right.
And that was like, you need to hear that. Because comedians think, oh, I got to come up with this and I have to, but this. But I said, no, just have 5 minutes of kill. So if you don't have that, you really don't have anything.
I was at a shop last night and I was telling these guys, also very great. Remember, I was talking about with the Parmesan? Mm-hmm.
Just Parmesan?
Just Parmesan.
Your restaurant idea?
He was making the Italian sausage and putting the sauce on there, and then he kept saying, Parmesan. And he'd take that big spoonful and just cover it. Looked like a red mountain that had been snowed upon. Delicious. And show me all the crazy. Now, look, I'm into cars, but no one is as deep as Jay, and he has stuff in there that, you know, literally has a Duesenberg engine, or sorry, Duesenberg chassis from the 30s, but the engine is a V12 from a German Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
wow.
Literally from the teens. Yeah. Crazy, and he's showing you all the technology from the teens, you know, 1914.
How does one procure that?
You know, the internet, I think.
Is that even possible? Is that sold online?
It's
like the Island of Dr. Moreau. For
right.
But
yes.
Before the internet, though, he was collecting and making.
It's crazy what shows up at his shop. And again, you know, for most people, exotic is, oh, I got a Porsche from the 50s or something. He has stuff from the 20s with engines from World War I that were powered dirigibles and weird bombers. Oh, I mean,
He's a real collector, but also he loves it. It's just the same way, like, some people procure art, you know, and they end up a museum someday. Someday there's going to be the Jay Leno Automobile Museum.
It already exists. I walked through it last night. We always premiere my latest racing automobile documentary on his Tonight Show set that he took off the Tonight Show and set up in a corner of one of his many warehouses.
And what do you think?
He loved it, and I'll say this. And now here's what I ask with all due respect. Mm-hmm. I have this theory that people, like, if you ever. You ever talk to people and they go like, hey, man, you got to fuck that guy before he fucks you because you know he's looking to fuck you up. And you think, you're that guy. Yeah. Like, that's you. Like, the people, like, the criminals are the ones that hide their shit and lock up their shit. The people who would think to steal from other people, the ones that are so super careful with their stuff and they're always worried about getting ripped off. The people who do all the backstabbing and all the ripping off are the ones that are always worried.
Worried about getting
ripped
off.
Looking for an angle.
Right. And so I do have this sort of general human theory of this sort of transference thing that, like, what I'm feeling, I will lay on you.
Projection.
It's projection, right. So we watched a movie, was called Uppity, first black racer in Indy. Jay was almost emotional for Jay.
Almost.
Almost emotional.
That means he's on his high register. Hey, you know, I've done with the most news, I'm up here.
Right. When we,
it's a beautiful
when
thing.
When we finished.
Anything pretty beautiful.
I've known the man for at least 15 years. When we were finished, he hugged me.
Oh, wow.
Which I'd never seen it before.
You had some Parmesan on your neck.
we'd hugged. We literally hugged.
You get more emotional when you get older. Your hemispheres start melting, I think.
And he then gave me a speech about, and you can paraphrase Rob as Jay. The speech was basically like, you know, I've known you for a long time. You're a little standoffish. You kind of use your humor, not in a negative way, but you kind of, like a lot of comedians, you use your humor to keep people at a distance, but you really let your guard down. You opened up your heart. This was such a moving piece. And, you know, God bless you for just sort of letting it down and letting us see how much heart you really have. And I was thinking the whole time, wait a minute, that's what you do. But he was thinking about
me. No, that's interesting. Yeah,
but he
no,
was.
You're right. You're 100% right. Because there was this facade of Jay, because you have to build up a wall to be an entertainer. You do. He would come into the guest, you know, to the guest rooms. Show people. You know, remember he used to come into the room and go, show people. You know, because you're show business people. So you're basically, you know, a carny. You know, you're carnival workers. And he show people. But I think though, it's also, it's like, you know, he was at that this profession. I had a different way of looking at it. He knew it's a short ride no matter what you do. And if you get a gig like that, do anything you can to get a gig. And he's in. He knew it wasn't going to be an actor. Did you ever see him become some of the acting?
I saw him with Pat Morita.
Yeah, with his gun, 80. You know, sitting there going like, what am I doing here? Every scene was like, what the hell am I doing here, you know?
What was that, 80s?
He was a cop. He had a gun. He was sitting down behind a dumpster and like looking like, you just were waiting for him to look at the camera and go, no, this is ridiculous. Yeah, no, I'm going to stop. So I can understand, but, you know, he does realize it's a short ride, and I do think he, appreciated it, and, you know, and
no, he did. But what I'm saying is was he transferring him to me? And then I thought, or maybe it's both.
Like, that's why
maybe
he's
that way, and maybe I'm that way. And it's true. We hang out,
you know, it's
and we talk about cars, and we don't talk about feelings.
It's a safe statement to say to any comedian.
It is.
I wonder if he says that. That's a thing. They can't. Oh yeah, tell Adam Carolla about the whole thing about the. Oh yeah, okay, I'll tell him. Anyway, so you know, think about it. You know, glad you opened up and did this. He's also in a different place in his life too. I mean, he's doing the show he loves. He's he's a great guy, and he's the best comedian of his generation for sure. You know.
Oh, let me tell you, I saw him do a really tight 20-minute set a few weeks back, and he is at the height of his powers. He's not lost a step. Like, it's absolutely amazing.
And flawless, and like absolutely. Not one word mistake.
Perfect. So anyway, he loved it. We hugged. I saw a Duesenberg with a dirigible motor in it, which is crazy when you see. It's crazy when you see these things from the turn of the century. Mm-hmm.
But
and,
doesn't it make sense though that he is like that kind of a joke smith, that he can take stuff and pull it apart and figure out what makes it work? You know, he does that with ideas and jokes. It does the same thing with cars. It's pretty similar if you think about it.
Yeah,
it's a mechanical thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's fascinated and loves it. That's the key to it. You have to enjoy it to really be the best at it.
Oh, and it always has to be something that no one else has or that you've never seen before. He loves just showing you the stuff that you've never seen and doesn't exist. Again, if you have enough money, you can buy a LaFerrari. If you have $3.5 million, you can buy a LaFerrari and join the rest of the rich guys who have a LaFerrari, and then you can just point at it, and then someone else will go, "Yeah, I saw Sammy Hagar has one too," and you go, "Yeah, that's a different color."
Right. But
he's
right.
Showing you stuff you've never seen
His
before.
Stuff tells a story.
Oh my God, does it tell a story? Yeah. Collision Course was Jay's movie from 1989.
Look at that.
Sort of generic buddy cop comedy.
Yeah, you know, no, it's fine. I mean, I do the movie. You know,
I watched most of this about
Pat
a year
Marita
ago.
Pat Morita was a comedian too, by the way.
When it came on. Was he a stand-up?
He was a stand-up, San Francisco.
What is the slug line there?
Maybe could possibly looked at it as a little racist in 2018, but we'll see.
It
says, in the tradition of Tonto and the Lone Ranger, Sundance and Butch, and Costello and Abbott, comes a new kind of dynamic duo. And those two guys are pointing fists at the camera and giving a little smile.
In the tradition of something you'll never see.
Well, I don't know what it's sitting at Rotten Tomatoes. Let's all take a guess.
Okay.
You can't go by that.
You can't, but I got to go mid-teens.
Mm. I'm going to say it's not even on there.
But it's worth a watch to A, watch Jay Leno early acting, and also worth a watch to see how 80s a movie can be, from the music to what the bad guys are looking, you know, what bad guys were in the 80s versus bad guys now.
Right.
Yeah. I have it at 18.
I also have it at 18.
I had it at 18.
What do you got?
In my head, I just went 18. We'll see if it even registers. All right. So spent the night.
What is it?
Collision Course has no score on Rotten Tomatoes, but 33% of the audience approved.
People. Okay.
People, what year was that movie?
89. 89?
What? So that was when he was about ready to host the Tonight Show. Wow, I didn't realize it was that late. I thought I was going to say 80.
It feels like it when you see it. Anyway, Leno's Garage, bigger and better than ever. You get the full tour. He's building all kinds of new stuff. He's loving all of it. And then we watched a movie.
And he's emotional.
And he got a little emotional, and we hugged.
What was the
I didn't even hug.
There must have been people.
Did you guys see Brian's song? What was the movie?
Oh, he showed up, which is my latest doc, and he just loved it. He just loved it.
Did he already know about Willie T?
He knew a little about Willie T, and he just loved it and couldn't stop heaping praise on it. And it just hooked him for some reason. There's good movies, there's bad movies, and then there's movies where sometimes you get hooked, you can feel the audience or the person kind of get hooked, and then sometimes you don't get hooked, and it's still a good movie, but you can get it. He just got hooked. He loved it. We hugged. It was awesome.
Did you see Senna?
Right. Yes. Love Senna.
Unbelievable movie, isn't it?
I didn't show it at his warehouse, though, because I did not make it. Now, I was sitting around. I don't know if I was with you, I was maybe with Sheck, but I was talking. Rob can play along with this. Looking back at guys I'm currently older than, names like Captain Steubing, when I was watching Love Boat, that was the oldest guy on the ship, and I'm actually older than he is.
I think about that all the time. That's a classic thing. When you hit 50, you go like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm older. That's just, you know, when you're younger, like in your 20s, you think, you know, in the your own lunacy, you think, you know, but I can still play professional baseball. Let's just say I wake up. You know, and then you think, you know what, now I'm 30, but probably no. Probably couldn't. And then you're 35. Well, the boxing's out. You know, you think.
Well, I crossed the gender line. So then you think of guys like, I don't know, Alan Hale, the skipper, again, from like Gilligan's Island and stuff like that. And these guys are just perennial. We talked about Marlon Brando being 47 when he shot the Godfather.
Yep.
But he was aged up, so it's a little bit tough with that one. But the skipper, Steubing, was not. I had a real sad one yesterday.
Let's hear it.
LeBron James' mom.
I mean,
this guy's been in the league forever, perennial all-star.
He's
been like one of the oldest guys in the league. He's had 14 all-star appearances, and I'm older than his mom?
Wow. Think about that.
That's old.
You don't want to think about that.
It was Damashek you were talking to about this, because we didn't have this discussion. But coincidentally, I recently turned 40, and I thought to myself, just the other day, I was like, holy shit, I'm older than Homer Simpson.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I just remember, you just can't get like where my uncle was. Like, you know, I had, you know, lunch with my uncle. And all I did was complain about whatever was too spicy. Is that spicy? I can't have spicy. You know, Norm Applebaum. And then he said, like, you know who passed away? Mrs. Rosenberg, 86. So young.
I also had this one with Dr. Drew, which is... We always wait till you guys leave before we get to the interesting subject.
Oh, good. Well, tell us what you talked about.
We talked about the fact that I was watching Gone with the Wind. I was telling with you guys about how he would just his Clark Gable's pimp hand was strong. Like he drank alone and he beat the crap out of anyone who'd want to talk to him while he was drinking.
I'm drinking, woman.
But the distance. Gone with the Wind was made in 39. Spectacular. Yeah. The sets, the music, the sweeping, the color, spectacular. But Gone with the Wind was obviously made set in the Civil War and Atlanta burning and Sherman's march to the ocean, all that kind of stuff. The distance between the actual Civil War and Gone with the Wind is actually closer than when they made the movie to the actual Civil War than when they made the movie to now. It's actually, it's been longer between now and the actual civil goddamn war. That's how soon we're all going to die.
That's how the thing about, you know, Orson Welles said that in the Bogdanovich book. He said, like, it's the thing about time. It's so short. So you shake hands with me. He said, you shake hands with me. You're seven hands away from Napoleon. I mean, because I'm friends with John Landis, and John Landis is friends with Orson Welles, and Orson Welles saw Sarah Bernhardt when she was a child on stage, and then Sarah Bernhardt met Lady George, and Lady George was a lover of Napoleon. So bing, bang, boom, boom. That's history is so short, and that's the idea.
Four shakes away from Kevin Bacon. You guys may not know that.
No. The one that I know
Kira Sedgwick.
The one that I always think of, and I don't have the numbers right in front of my face, but how the time – Dazed and Confused, the movie, is portraying, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, whatever. And that is closer together than us watching Dazed and Confused now when it was actually made. Don't think about that.
Too scary. That movie always bumped me because the kid who was in that movie who played a high schooler, if you want to be bumped, have a guy in your grade in high school play a high schooler in a movie when you're almost 30 and watch that. Sasha Jensen was the actor's name. He went to North Hollywood High. Well, he was in my grade.
Oh, shit.
And he played a high schooler in that movie. And, of course, I wanted to enjoy the movie, but I kept seeing a guy I went to high school with in another high school that took place before I went to high school with him in the early 80s.
You can't enjoy that
movie. That's a bump.
There's no way.
Right there. All right. I have something I want to do with Rob and company as
well. There he is.
There's Sasha Jensen.
Yeah. That guy.
That dude went to North Hollywood High, and that dude graduated in 1982.
And in Dazed and Confused, he played Dawson.
Oh, he did!
Wow.
Just like Napoleon, seven shakes away.
So I'll tell you about this thing I wanted to do, another thing. And I think I feel like Rob is uniquely qualified to join in on this conversation. And I'll let everyone think about it. And it's something I was playing on Good Sports with Damashek, but I wanted to include you guys in it on it as well, which is scenes in movies.
All right. I'm with you so far.
Where the actor clearly read ahead a few pages and knew how this was going to turn out.
Oh, gosh.
Now, what I'm saying is this. Like somebody said, I was trying to figure out some of this stuff, and Dylan said, well, how about that 007 scene where he's on that little miniature island and the crocodiles were coming and he ran across all the crocodiles? And I said, that's something that's unlikely to happen to most of us, but he still had to do it.
Right.
He had really no choice. The crocodiles were coming up and they were going to devour him and he just ran across it. So that was a low percentage play and it worked, but that's in all action movies.
Yeah, that's going to show up a Bond movie.
I'm talking about more about things where they didn't have to do it, but they did it anyway.
And it worked out just fine.
I was saying,
I need some examples.
I'll give you a crazy example. If you take the movie, and then I'll give you some more satisfying ones in a minute.
Please.
If you take the movie True Lies, and you see that great scene where Schwarzenegger's on the horse, and he's riding through the lobby, and the guy's on the motorcycle, and he's buzzing around the lobby, and at a certain point, they get in the elevator, in the horse.
The Westin Bonaventure, right? Downtown. There's outside elevators.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the hotel it was at, but it was an outside elevator. I recall. But now there's lots of hotels built in the 70s, put one of those glass elevators on the outside. But Westin Bonaventure, So he goes to the top, right? Yep. The terrorist guy gets on the motorcycle, and he does a pretty read ahead in the script a few pages. Movie goes, bum, bum, wah! and he just heads right off the roof, right through the glass railing, goes from one building to the next building, a little, you know, four stories below. He's on the 21st floor, one building, there's a 15th floor on the other, and lands in the pool.
Nice.
On top of the building.
All right.
Low percentage, but he was trying to get away.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger then looks at it, gauges the distance, which is several thousand feet, gets back on the horse and goes, here we go, come on. And he was going for it to jump his horse from the roof of one commercial building in downtown LA to the swimming pool of another building. Now, the horse never ended up doing it, but the notion that that character would think, here's the only way I'm going to catch up to this terrorist is to jump a horse. Normally, you'd get on a walkie-talkie. You'd say there's a Shiite. He's on the roof. He's on an XR-175. He'll be the wet terror. He'll be the terrorist covered
drown
pool
rat.
Water. He'll be coming down. You guys go ahead and get a few cruisers, get a bird up in the air. But I don't think anyone would actually attempt to jump a horse.
No.
So
the Fast and the Furious movies really have quite
Fast and the Furious had
it.
Have yeah. a million of the they, I know
encapsulate
I know what's happening. But
Schwarzenegger is a different animal. First of all, like I remember like
he rides a different animal or he is
like,
a different animal.
He's just amazed that he was in show business in the first place. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it's like that he became the biggest star was like to him the idea that he could become the biggest star in the world is as crazy in his head as you know a horse jumping from one building to the next. So
yes.
it's like yeah, what I gotta do so is, I have something I'll do it. I do a terrible Schwarzenegger. You have to hit it harder to get the Schwarzenegger. I just remember I was promoting a movie, and he was just the guest beforehand. We ended up showing up at the Tonight Show about the same time, and then at the radio show. And everything he was talking about, I didn't know you can just lie. You can just be an absolute when you're promoting something. No, this one, it's got action. It's amazing. It's romantic. You know, your friends could see it. Grandparents could see it. You could take the children. And I went, what movie is he talking about? It was like The End of Days, a movie about
right.
the devil.
Right.
It's like,
right.
it's about the devil. No, you can take the children to see it. It's comedy. It's romantic. It's got everything, you know, because, you know, you just lie. I didn't realize you can do that.
I will. I think you can lie in your second language.
Oh,
I've seen a lot of people lie in their second language.
It's good.
It's an action yeah. movie.
I mean, every car driver, every driver who's from Pakistan, who's like, we're like, we're out front of the theater for an hour. Well, yes, I come. You, well, you know
My
that.
Friend.
You say no. I go, no, we're standing in front of the theater. Yes, I'm here. What do you want? I wait for you. You're not come. I don't know. I call you. Like, no, you didn't call. You never called. No one said anything. Yes, it's good. You're right. Get in. Like, I think you can lie.
Yeah.
In your second language.
Yeah. That's a subplot in Don't Mess with the Zohan. The guys that are selling the Sony. He's got Sony guts.
He's got Sony guts. It's no, like, it's pinnacle. Pinnacle. It's the same as Sony.
It's why I don't trust Ariana Huffington.
There you go.
That's why I don't trust. Do not trust that bitch.
It's pinnacle. It's got
Anyone
Sony
can
guts.
Lie. I feel like if I went to another land and I'm speaking their language, I could just lie my fucking ass off. I was a doctor and an attorney where in the United States. That's what, you know. Say whatever you want. Yeah. I think you can.
That's a loophole.
It's a loophole.
It's a comedy. It's got action. It's funny. It's romantic. Your parents can see it. The children. It's a movie about the devil, Satan.
All right. I have, and I'll let you think because it's true. Fast and Furious does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my mind's does, flooded with Fast and Furious moments.
But I have a movie that not only has that scene that I speak of, it is then followed 10 seconds later with another scene that is the most redhead in the script. Movie scene you'll ever see. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe, thinking about getting Simply Safe, waiting for her the holidays when the tech deals come in. Good. But now are the holidays, and now let's get going with this bad boy. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam for their amazing holiday offer. Great deal, and it's just for us. There's two eyes in there. Simply Safe. Great protection for your home and family. No contracts, no hidden fees. Great reviews from CNET, PC Mag, and Wirecutter as well. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam, and they got a special offer for you. Make sure you use that URL. Helps us help the show. Lets them know where they're getting their business. They're great sponsors. It's a great product. Two eyes. Simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Adam. Let's get going before this offer ends soon. All right. You can go to the Facebook page and watch along on this one. I was thinking about this. One of my favorite Stallone movies.
Oh, look, can I just jump in just for one second? Now, before you said the thing about it, the audience kind of knows in any action movie what they're getting into. So but at a certain point, there's only so many times you could do like this. Like when Tom Cruise jumps out of... He's being chased by Wilford Brimley, by the way. You know, the guy who sells oatmeal? Right. That guy's chasing
the diabetes?
Tom Cruise.
Right.
Yeah, well, this is in the firm.
Oh, wow.
And at a certain point, he gets to a window in downtown Nashville, jumps up. I mean, it jumps out the window just as a cotton truck seems to be driving by. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, that's one. Mm-hmm. But the next time he's in a building and jumps out, another cotton truck shows up as he's jumping out.
What are the odds?
I'm not buying it. That's when I say I'm done.
Well, one of the notions was the one in Mission Impossible when he's on the chopper and he just blows himself onto the train.
On the tunnel.
So he read ahead in the script knowing he was going to land safely. Tango and Cash.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites. I know you know Sly from Judge Dredd. Tango and Cash, the opening scene, the very opening of Tango and Cash, couple of bad boys had stolen a semi-truck, and they're chugging down the highway, desert highway, no other traffic, no buildings, no anything. He goes flying in front of them in his Cadillac and then does something that you would never do unless you read ahead in the script, and then follows it up immediately with something you would never do unless you read ahead.
You know it's page 10.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. You got it there? He stops his car in a highway, an empty highway, pulls out a snub-nosed .38 and blocks... Well, go ahead and play it. Cocks a very small caliber pistol, parks his Cadillac convertible, puts himself in between the semi-truck and his Cadillac in the middle of the street. Now... It's brave and all, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is why do you need to stand in the middle of the street and put the car behind you? You could put the car, stop it there for a second, just go back a couple frames. You could park the car on the,
on
side,
the side
of the street.
Road. Yeah.
Now, how far is he in this last shot that we get? That's 25 yards?
Yes,
away from certain
that's the best part.
He's 100 feet away. A semi-truck, if the semi-truck slammed its brakes on right now, it couldn't stop in time to not crush Stallone and his Cadillac.
Pulverized.
But why do those guys keep, like, after they're getting shot through the windshield, why do they keep peeking up and sitting up in their seats? Wouldn't you stay down the whole time? You know the road's straight.
I would duck my
head. It's not like he's got to make a U-ey here.
I would hold the steering wheel straight. I would duck my head, and I would hit the accelerator, and I would pulverize this guy in his Cadillac.
Yeah.
But he's shooting, and again, it's weird because most movies have the big cannon gun, you know.
Yep.
You know, oh boy. He's got a little snub-nosed revolver. So play it. He's firing. He's confident. He doesn't hit anybody. He just fires into the windshield. They hit the brakes. They lock it up. He never moves.
That's how cool he is.
And they both go flying through the windshield. Hold on. Let him say what he's going to say.
Glad you could drop in.
No!
Okay,
that was
perfect. All right, now wait a second.
No, I wrote that myself. Let me tell you, they wanted me to say, you know, I'm like, oh, that guy got to make a joke here.
But Sly, wouldn't you move? Why wouldn't you get out of the way? Why would you be in the way in the first place? Why
Very confident.
And let me tell you, another thing is the character's so cool. He's got to say he knows what's going to happen before it happens.
But he slams the brake on. And also, why would the two guys launch themselves through the window if they just applied the brake?
Yeah, they as though they hit something. They would fly through the little plate.
That's some bad centrifugal math.
All right. Well,
that's why you know the movie's not going to be good right away.
Oh, are you kidding? It's a fantastic film.
It's defying the laws of gravity.
He read, but... Not the most egregious in the first 3 minutes of the film in terms of reading ahead in the script.
What else is there?
Well, they're driving a tanker truck. Stallone suspects there's narcotics in the tanks of the tanker truck. And then my next favorite scene, all good movies, when the local guy is explaining he's beyond his jurisdiction.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And what a mess he's made.
Yep.
All right, so then the local guy has to...
You're out of your jurisdiction.
Has to get up. And you tell me if he didn't... The guy's yelling at him didn't have a cup of coffee right before they rolled.
They always complain about paperwork. I'm going to be up to my ass in paperwork.
Right, right. And I always like, the mess you've made.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, well, these guys stole a truck and then I stopped
They started it.
Some might say I stopped a big mess.
Okay.
Looks like Ron Swanson.
It's coming.
So what the hell's going on?
I heard a rumor about this truck.
What about this truck?
It's not a truck.
Gas truck.
No. It's a major moving violation.
Yeah.
All right, stop it there. Hold on a second. Or let it roll. There's three deputies on top of a tanker truck. One guy's like the tech guy. He's in the jumpsuit. He's in the overalls. He's putting a stick in there to see like how much fuel what is in the body of this tanker. All right, sorry. And there's three dudes standing on top of a tanker truck. Go ahead.
Did you check the first panel?
It's full of gas, sir.
We checked the whole truck, asshole. There's nothing in it. And you're out of your neighborhood, big city boy.
Yeah.
I want your badge. I want your weapon.
Watch
this. I want your ass. Who in the fuck do you think you are?
He thinks he's Rambo.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
Rambo.
Stuff.
All right. Stop it. All right.
Wow,
now,
that's
nobody looked at the camera. They should have looked at the camera.
He has three dudes on top of the truck, and they said they've checked the front compartment, the back compartment.
Fuel only.
It's only fuel. All right. Let's see how he handles this.
Gallons of fuel.
Only someone who read ahead in the script could do what he's about to do.
You got over that whole Rambo comment, too.
That's fine. Go ahead. Enjoyable. Hit play.
Rambo is a pussy.
Oh, there it is.
Uh-oh. Filled with cocaine.
What do you know? It's snowing.
It's weird.
Anybody
they wouldn't
want to get high.
Oh, they wouldn't pack it in bags.
No. They have three dudes standing on top of a gasoline truck. They
it's
said,
awful.
I've checked every compartment. It's just gasoline. And he just pulls his piece out.
Raisin.
Fires it right to the side of the truck. By the way, the bullet, the thing is round. It could have ricocheted and blinded some cop. Some poor,
worth the risk.
Some female cop standing 40 feet away grabs her eye. My God, my brain is bleeding.
Not for the drug dealers who have millions invested in this one truck alone. Reinforce it with extra steel. Make it.
Anybody want to get high? I like that. You want to get high?
I also love the cop is like, you messed up. That guy's just a uniform guy. Like, why does he get to scream at everybody who's a detective?
Call him an asshole?
The guy was just a basic, like, the guy looked like he'd been on the beat for about 4 years, and he's just a uniform guy, and he gets to scream at an L.A. detective.
Yeah. Big city boy.
Chips.
A lot of rivalry between the big city and the little city.
All right, so that was my read ahead in the script. All took place in the first 6 minutes of the movie.
I don't think I can do much better than that, especially on the fly.
No, but it just makes sense. Like, the AD is going to go, you know, it just looks so weird. One guy up there. Can we get a couple other guys up there so it fills the frame? I mean, that's the way it works.
Think about the balls of three officers and you and everyone else standing next to a thing where people had confirmed multiple times it's filled with gasoline, and you're just pulling your piece out and firing into the belly of it.
He's that good.
That confident.
Here's my thing. I would, if I was the chief, I would be like, I know when you pulled your piece out and fired it in the proximity of 18 other officers into what we all knew was a tanker filled with gasoline. And by the way, there was gasoline in certain parts of that thing. I'm going to suspend your ass anyway. I know cocaine came out of the side, but you cannot do that. It's basically,
you know who's going to testify? This big city cop asshole came over here. Let me tell you, I saw him shoot that mother.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're
the showboaty,
if you're the coach,
if
you're the coach, and you know it's fourth and one with no time on the clock, and you're just going to take a knee, and you decide to go up top just on your own, you get yelled at, even if it works out. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right.
Nice to pay.
All right. So, any thoughts? I have a couple more, but if anyone has any thoughts,
I don't have anything specifically, but just given your example, there has to be a metric ton of them in Top Gun.
I mean, like in any of the,
you know what I mean? Because there's so much. Don't Maverick, don't do it.
It can't be seriously improbable. It has to be you would have never done that because you didn't have to do
it. Okay, all right.
But then, flying upside down and photographing the other—that's
a Chinese invention. The whole thing because it's the way the Chinese. It was like nine guys and they're going to fight them one at a time. To be fair, because it's nicer, it's funner,
right? More fun. All right, I have a couple more. I'll see.
I got one. But
you got one?
You want to do a read first?
What do you got?
The one that jumped to mind, I don't know if this is exactly what you're talking about, but for 0 seconds notice, I think it's okay. In The Rock, by the way, The Rock has a few of these too, which is another enjoyable movie. Remember when they first get to The Rock?
The movie The Rock.
The movie The Rock. Yes, yeah. The Rock. Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. They first get Michael Bean.
Charles Dutton.
He's not in The Rock, is he?
He's not? No. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep
I was going. Never actually on the rock.
Charles Esten.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one? Gina, then. I didn't want to.
Gina, they don't all look alike.
All right, go ahead. I got to look this up.
Actors.
Mm-hmm.
So, when they first get to the rock, remember they take the seals, they take the submarine,
the mini sub,
yeah, those subs, and they have to break in through the furnace or whatever,
yeah,
the room,
it's and billowing gas.
And Connery is, you know, he's leading them because this is how I got out,
right?
And he's like, he's got to time it right. He's got to
right.
probably find this scene where he rolls
yeah, we've seen it before. The big yeah. fans turning around, and he's yep. got to time
he's
it.
And roll
and
under,
gas,
yeah, the flames.
Flames.
That is wildly reckless. Certainly he knew he was going to succeed, otherwise he would not have tried this. But the logic part that bothers me is then he does his dramatic thing where he opens the door. He screwed us. He's gone. Because remember, he's an escape.
Right.
He's a criminal.
Welcome
he was getting, you know,
to the rock.
Yeah, welcome to the rock.
Right.
Hey, motherfucker, if you could just open the door from that side, why did you need to time the thing in the first place?
And, well, he went to the inside, right?
He broke out this way initially in 1960.
Oh, why didn't
whatever.
He leave that way?
Yeah, if you could just open the door from that side, why did you
good,
bother?
It's a good point. Also, to make a put a better point on it.
Michael Biehn.
You have Navy SEAL Team 6 who just got launched from a helicopter and their submergibles with all your tactical gear. You can't pop the pins on some exterior hinges and just pull the door
it's
off.
Just
like,
a door.
Hey, it's a patio door. What are you going to do?
Mission over.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just literally a handle on the door, even if it's a deadbolt, you can't defeat a schlag. Like, you can't get through an exterior door.
It was cool seeing him roll around the flames, of course, but then as you're watching, you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
The door just opens from that side?
I would say with all the high-tech equipment these specially trained SEALs had, they could have easily just sort of popped the door. Yeah, and by the way, if you stop it and look at that door, it's just, it's not even exterior grade 1¾-inch solid core. It looks like an 1⅜-inch interior, probably hollow core masonite door. You put your foot right through that goddamn bad boy.
Mason.
Welcome to the rock show.
Just a real quick reminder for me to not talk about movies I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
When you said The Rock, do you know why Charles S. Dutton came into my head?
He was
in a sitcom.
He's in a garbage man in a sitcom. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll lay it low over here. Drink some water.
I forget what The Rock. What was that? What was going on in Alcatraz? I don't understand.
Of those types of movies, The Rock is one of the best.
One of the best. And Gene, I didn't want to preface this whole segment with "Be quiet,"
shut
but it was implied.
Yeah. I'm going to turn the air down.
Don't chime in here, Gina. There's a great scene in Fast and Furious 4, also Fast 6. Let's go to Fast 6.
Is this where they jump between buildings?
Well, that's insane.
That's
reading ahead in the script where you just launch your supercar and out of your Dubai.
High rise,
and knowing you're going to land in another building.
But standing on the cars, jumping car to car, is just a... Something that
the
never
best
attracted me.
Is when in 6 when Dom is going to go save Letty and they're moving along the bridge and he's next to her in his Hemi Cuda or his Challenger Bird and Roadrunner, whatever it is, and he times it to jump and catch her in midair because this is a super low percentage thing. He's next to her in his Hemi Bird. She's on the top of the Russian tank. She's made it to the turret.
What's he doing?
Shit. He okay, takes off. Right. He's pulling next to her.
The tank.
Gonna fire the gun.
And the happy ending.
Letty!
I like that they can hear each other, because you can just pause it for a second.
Oh.
When my wife is in the master bedroom and I'm in the kitchen, she can't hear a fucking word I'm saying. Like, she's 22 feet down some hardwood floor, and I'm like, Lynette! She's like, huh? Lynette! I'm watching TV!
Lynette! Are you talking?
Like, if she was going 110 miles an hour one direction across a suspension bridge, standing on top of a F1 Abrams tank, I don't think she'd hear anything I was saying. But here we go. She jumps. He swerves and jumps. Gets on the hood of his car. Jumps and catches her. And then shields her.
That's pretty good.
A landing. But again, it's a low percentage. You got to read ahead in the script kind of move. Because I think more often than not, you're just going to send yourself sailing down a ravine to your death. Yes?
That was a risky move.
It's a risky move. That's a definite red ahead.
I like how soft that windshield was, though. Yeah. Just gave it cushioned.
Like a pillow.
Probably in the script as well. All right, let me tell you about, speaking of cars. Brian's
we'll
got another one. All right, tease it. Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your Castrol Challenge. Hashtag Castrol Challenge. With your questions for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction. Maximizes engine performance. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading full synthetic. What's the question, Maxipata?
All right, this is from San Pedro Real Estate Company on Instagram. Hashtag Castrol Challenge. I have a slow leak in one of my tires. What do you think about sealing it with Fix-A-Flat? There's still a lot of life left on it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like sort of life fixes that people go, you're not supposed to, whatever. But the Fix-A-Flat stuff works pretty good. And I actually have it in my car right now because I have a slow leak as well. And it's good for what ails you. And as a matter of fact, best $6 you'll ever spend is a can of that stuff and just let it roll around in the trunk of your car. If you come out, now you get a blowout and shred the tire. It's worthless.
But
if you go see a movie or something and you come back into the parking garage and you notice your front left tire is flat, you can fill it up with a can of that stuff and it'll get you home. Do not get the 99-cent version of that. Get the one that's got the little hose on it and the little threaded neck on it. And you can screw it onto your valve stem, shake it up real good. Like
it's worth $22.
Spend $9 or $10, spend $2 on it.
Two cans.
Get it. Look, you just left the movie theater where you paid $21 for a glass of red wine. Mm-hmm. This will be the best $10 you ever spend in your life.
And don't put it in your butt.
Because no!
Remember that news story?
What was that? A
doctor, quote unquote, was using Fix-A-Flat to give butt implants and the woman died.
No.
Yeah, don't do that. Just for the tires, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was Kanye West.
Don't do that.
West's mom. Come on. That's who that was. Sad. I know you didn't want to bring her into this.
I didn't want to bring her name up.
Yeah. I'm older than she is, by the way, before she
was.
Wait, how old was she when she died? I'll kill myself if I'm older than her. All right, Brian, what do you got? You got one more?
I can't find the clip. Chris, you might be able to look for it. Die Hard 2. This is another one of those. It's a Rennie Harlan movie, and it's just ridiculous. But, okay, I'm going to give away a very minor spoiler for this fucking 35-year-old movie. Have you guys seen Die Hard 2?
Yeah.
The snow.
At the airport.
Dulles Airport. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so at one point, Bruce Willis, John McClane figures out that the cops are in on it, or the police force is in on it because they're using blanks, fake bullets, and they're having like fake shootouts with the bad guys because they don't want to actually kill their comrades. They want to make it look like they're fighting their comrades. And Bruce Willis figures this out at one point.
Kanye's mom died at 58. I'm good.
Time.
I'm good. Go
so
ahead.
We crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
And so
I'm jumping from that bridge and catching Letty.
So John McClane figures this out. He kills one of the bad guys, takes the gun, the machine, the Uzi, full of blanks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're differentiated by blue and red, helpful blue and red stripes for the audience mostly.
Right.
But Bruce Willis figures out, oh, these are blanks, and the audience doesn't know. It's a big reveal.
And red, like on the clip?
Like tape, blue-red tape around the banana clip.
On the clip.
Magazine.
Right.
And so he takes it back to the airport, back to the cops he's been working with to try and convince them, no, guys, it's a big conspiracy. They're using blanks. Like everyone's in on it. And he's yelling, and there's confusion, and they're like, get out of here, McClane, shut up! And what does he do? In the middle, surrounded by cops, in the middle of a terrorist attack, because remember, this plane has been taken over.
Yeah.
He starts firing the Uzi in the air, the blank, just firing it in the air. Of course he read ahead, because if you did that, even with blanks, and you're surrounded by cops, they don't care if you're John McClane or not. They would kill you. They would murder you. And it's like they'd be taken out by a gunman within 2.5 seconds.
Did they all hit the deck, or they just immediately believed him?
No, they all, of course, you know, as though, oh my God, he's shooting with it. He's like, see, the blanks. It was a big see, they're using blanks moment. But if you open fire with an Uzi in an airport, you would be dead.
Yes, you go around cops. I learned from watching Casino. You just have like a hoagie and a tin foil. Wrapped in tinfoil and pull that out of your pocket at the wrong time and you will get shot by a cop. Good call, Brian.
There you go,
Doctor. I'll give you this as homework and we'll think more about it.
Yeah.
We'll play a little more.
I am enamored.
Again, it's not the probability part. Mm-hmm. It's the part where you didn't have to do it and you knew it would work out anyway. All right. Let's see. Kyle Dunnigan is out there. Yes, Rob. I should give Rob some plugs. Real Rob, season 2, available now to binge on Netflix. Also, you can check out some stand-up with Rob. Improv, San Jose. Great big club, San Jose Improv. December 28th and 29th. And then the Tempe Improv, December 30th and 31st. So say hi to Rob over there. Website, robschneider.com. Take a quickie break. Come back with Kyle Dunnigan right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. I mean, here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, Joe from Portland. Just jaywalked in Burbank and forgot to yell Adam Carolla. Sorry.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Kyle Dunnigan in studio. You can shoot him an Instagram or check out his Instagram at Kyle Dunnigan 1. And
that's right.
Shoot him a tweet at Kyle Dunnigan. And a website, KyleDunniganComedy.com for dates and more on Kyle. We thought it'd be fun to do a little blah, blah, blog. Kyle does a little Trump, and we thought if we had some blah, blah, blogs that were sort of geared or themed toward Trump, that Trump could possibly reply.
Most tweets these days are geared at or toward
I was going to say, how are we ever going to find those?
That's right. We had to scour the internet, but we did it. Our crack team of researchers did it. So we have that. And also, I thought it'd be fun to talk to Bill Maher a little about the Christmas break, because I go to Hawaii with my family. Bill goes to Hawaii every year.
Oh.
That's right.
And I thought, we're going to have a good time. I don't know. Maybe if we hook up, hang out a little bit.
I don't think I have free time. Not this year.
Well, in Hawaii, though.
That's vacation.
Yeah. It's all booked up.
Yeah, but you're there for like 13 days.
Couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got two shows.
Okay, that's
sounds like a lot of downtime.
Two nights.
Well, there's prep time.
Okay,
you know.
I get it, but I just thought maybe I could come over to the villa with the kids or something. And
what,
just
what day would you like to hang out?
Well, you know,
I can't.
Oh, oh God, wait a minute! I didn't even spit out a time.
Sure.
Look, Bill, my kids are awesome, man. Sonny and Natalia, they're twins.
Is that an oxymoron? My kids are awesome.
No, I think some
they're
kids
little,
are.
What's I mean, we've been through this before, but what's so great about the kids?
They're great.
They're
you
very
know,
sweet.
They're their own personalities.
You really, if they weren't your kids, you would hang out with them.
Well, I mean,
that's what you're saying. They have great personalities. I would for sure hang out with my kids.
Well, I don't know if that's an accurate yardstick.
You have to. You have to.
I do, but I enjoy
it. You got to drag them to Hawaii.
Oh, no, I'm not dragging
them. I get to
go
with my little horse and my fun time, and you've got to drag your kids there, and you're jealous, and you want to hang out with me, okay? That's what's happening here, and you're not going to do it.
Okay, Bill, I'm just saying you're going to be in Hawaii. I'm going to be in Hawaii.
I'm just saying we're not hanging out.
Couple of seasoned comedians, you know, pretty accomplished comedians.
What island are you going to be on?
Maui.
Oh. That's too bad.
Well,
I'm on the other side of Maui.
Well, I can grab an Uber.
Are you at the Four Seasons?
Yeah, we're staying at some resort over there. Yeah.
I'm not at that one. So it's a little tough.
Okay, well, I'll get to you. Just maybe off the air, give me your address or the bill
you're
at. I'll
give you my assistant's number, and you guys can chat.
Okay, well,
Dad, can we hang out with Uncle Bill?
Well, I'm trying to kind of set it up. Okay,
come by.
You want to come to the show? You can come to the shows.
Ooh, you got a couple of shows.
I don't have any comp tickets, but you know,
I can go online and buy some tickets.
Give you the website, of course.
Can we come backstage and hang out?
I wouldn't have you people come backstage, but you could come to the show.
So, Bill, let me say something. We've known each other for almost 20 years.
And still not friends. Isn't that weird?
But all
doesn't that say something?
But I feel like it's
20 years.
It's a one-way street because I'm trying to reach out, you know? And what I'm saying is you're going to be in Maui. I'm going to be in Maui. We'll be there at the same time. I got my kids. You're going to love them, by the way. You're going to love these two.
You know what? We're in America right now. We're not hanging out. Just because we go to another country doesn't mean we have to see each other.
Yeah, I guess in a weird way that makes sense, but I just feel like we're so busy here, you know, with my career, all that I got going on.
Wait, you're busy?
Well, I mean, I have a busy career. I have a flourishing, you know, comedic career. You know what it's like. We travel. We play these big venues, crowds, and specials, and books, and everything else. You know, documentaries.
But it's pretty easy to write a book.
Well, I didn't want to start this conversation to really compare and contrast our careers. Obviously, you're having success. I'm having great success as well in the field of comedy.
Okay.
And I would feel as contemporaries, you know what I mean?
Right. Huh? Yeah, we're the same age, pretty much.
No, but I mean sort of comedically.
We were born around the same time.
No,
okay.
I mean,
so let's hang out.
No, I mean comedically, you know what I mean? We're both pretty well respected. Yeah. And we're
treading on some dangerous territory.
Well, no, I'm not trying to take you down. I'm not trying to puff myself up, but I mean we're seasoned veterans. Well respected in this town.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Now you've done it.
What? All right. Look. I'm not here to examine my career. I'm saying it's one human to the next.
Right. We do comedy. We should hang out in Hawaii. That's your point.
Well, I know it sounds weird when you just
say
these
two lawyers going to Hawaii, and they should probably hang out too, don't you think?
Well, when you put it that way, it's weird. Like we said, I'm a dental hygienist, and you're a dental hygienist, and we're both going to be in Maui, so we should spend all our time together. Yes, that sounds weird. But it's not just our profession, you know what I mean? We both have this super nimble minds. You know, I feel like I say things that crack you up, you know.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I feel like you're a fan of mine. Okay.
I've seen you before.
Yeah.
What are we going to be doing in Hawaii? What could we possibly do
together? I'll smoke pot. I know you love pot.
Okay. This sounds good so far.
And then I come over to your villa.
Are you bringing the pot? Or are you just
mooching off
my stash?
Well, you always have pot. Why would I bring?
I don't have an endless supply where I can give it to every comedian who comes by.
Okay, it's becoming hurtful. You know, you keep saying like I go like I'm a comedian, and you go okay, like in a weird. It's like you're not acknowledging.
Oh, okay, I'm disagreeing.
No, I don't think you're agreeing. I feel like you're not acknowledging what I've accomplished.
No, I acknowledge. You say you're a comedian. I go okay. I'm just saying yes.
Yeah, but
okay. What does okay mean to you? It means yes. Okay, you do
sounds dismissive.
Comedy.
I do comedy. Even
and
the
I'm
way
doing
you say,
quotes when I
yeah,
say
I know,
comedy.
The way you
because
say comedy is even degrading. Like you do comedy. Like why can't you just say you do comedy?
Look, people like you, I respect so
do.
Much.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Wait a minute. Okay. I just want a synopsis.
To sum up.
Let's do some up. You are a famous comedian.
Very.
I am a famous comedian.
You have a podcast.
Okay. But we're both recognized and revered in this town for our takes. You know, we
do
have our takes.
Do people recognize you when you go outside?
Well, it's mostly an Armenian and Latino community that I work in,
okay.
So I don't have quite the Q rating that I would if I was, you know, on your side of the hill.
Okay.
Per se.
It's expensive to live over there.
I mean, I don't want to turn it into a, you know, zip code thing. I'm saying I am recognized and revered.
You're a famous comedian.
In this town, as a famous comedian.
People know you. People know you.
People know me. And then here you are, you're a comedian.
At the top.
Well, yeah, right. Okay, you're doing great. And here you are in Maui, and here I am in Maui. And I feel like, you know, as a guy who could be easily delighted by some of the things I say, because like I'm fast on my feet, you know what I mean? I just kind of crack wise and I roll with the conversation, whatnot.
Right.
What would be wrong with coming out to your villa and just spending some time?
you know, eating some fruit salad with you and just sort of listening to the tide roll in. I'll bring my kids. Oh, you love kids,
I was about
right?
to say yes. I swear to you.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay, you can come over. Uh-huh. But when you bring these other tiny people,
the
that's
kids,
a problem.
They're my children.
Yeah.
They're awesome. They're I'm bringing them with me. We're going to hang the whole time.
They can stay outside.
Okay.
Dad, what did Uncle Bill say? Can we hang out?
I'm still taught. Remember Howie Mandel?
Oh, he was so cool.
Oh, he was so fun, Uncle Howie.
Remember last year we went on the catamaran? Yeah, this is not that.
Is Uncle Howie coming?
I don't think he's here this time. We got Uncle Bill.
Is Uncle Bill taking us to a volcano?
He's hilarious.
Let me tell you. I'll take you to a volcano.
You'd rather have the Uncle Bill.
I'll give you a little push.
You'd rather have the Uncle Bill from Family Affair than this Uncle Bill.
It's a tiny
reference,
Dad.
He's actually worse. I know. Talk to Mr. French. All right.
All right. I'll see you in Hawaii.
All right. We'll see you in Hawaii.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
But so where we're at right now, Bill, is that I can go online and go to Ticketmaster and buy a ticket to your show.
You're welcome. Yes.
Okay, that's where
you
we're and not go backstage and have no other contact.
I'm busy.
Okay, understood. Well, you know what? I'm going to be pretty busy there myself, Bill. So if you want to come hang out with me, I don't know.
Okay,
we'll see what kind of mood I'm in. Okay,
maybe we'll bump into each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Promo code Bill.
Hmm? What? I can promo code Bill? Oh, you mean I can save 10% on
Brian
the tickets?
Just held up a sign that said.
So if I go to Ticketmaster, I can go promo code Bill
and go to
But
go
that's
to
your
call.
That's your after 20 years of hanging
20%
out.
20% off promo code Bill.
But I feel like that's for everybody.
Right.
Anyone could get that discount.
If you,
I've done PI like 35 times. I was your go to guy. I might get calls from Scott, your producer, the night before. Can you help us out?
Right.
Can you come in tomorrow? We're in a jam. Bill's a fan. And you know what I would say to Scott? I'd go, I will. I'll do it. I'll do it because I love Bill.
Okay. Well, I'll we'll see. How about we'll see?
Okay. Is Scott Carter going to be with you?
I fired him.
Oh,
okay. No.
Okay.
I'm
sorry. All right.
I like the Kyle's billing now. This is everyone's joke. Like he does the show. He's like, that was someone wrote that for me.
All right. Let's see. We got blah blah blog with Trump.
We sure did.
Blah blah blog.
It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right, we got the Donald in studio, and there's some mostly positive, but there are a couple of negative ones. Most of the positive stuff comes out of Hollywood, but there are a few negative ones that come out of the middle of the country, some of the flyover states.
Haters.
Sure.
Some of the states that do more mining, fracking, things like that, guys that have beefs. But occasionally there's a celebrity. Who's the...
No one's got a beef.
Well, sometimes people take to Twitter. What do we got, Dawson?
It's super weird to me that Donald Trump has 54 million followers, and his tweets rarely get over 20,000 retweets. He's screaming into the wind. I bet this tweet gets more RTs. Is it Rosie O'Donnell, Cher,
loser,
or Alyssa Milano?
Loser, total loser.
Three losers.
Wait, they're all losers?
They're all total losers.
Who's the biggest loser out of Cher, Alyssa, and Rosie?
Sophie's choice here. Sophie's a big slob, fat slob loser. We got Cher.
Rosie, I think. Rosie's a big fat slob loser.
Cher is like a... Some kind of trans loser, weird guy, girl loser. Me too. Alyssa Milano's me too.
Oh, she.
Which is a total sham.
Oh, you say
total
me too.
Total sham, me too.
Well, wait a minute. You said Black Lives Matter was a sham.
Black
too,
Lives
sham.
Matter, sham.
You said global warming's a sham.
Sham. Hoax. She was on
climate
Who's the
change.
Boss. More like Who's the Loser, me too person. I would say my guess.
Who's the loser?
My guess of who the biggest loser who wrote that would be Alyssa Milano, who's the boss loser.
Oh, no.
Alyssa Milano. I don't know. I figure I don't even want to weigh in. I just say.
It's not funny enough for fat loser Rosie.
Oh, well, just because she's got a weight issue. She may have a thyroid problem.
Total slob loser.
Oh, okay. All right. But you know, she's married. She just remarried.
That's not real. It's not recognized.
She married a lady cop.
She married abroad.
Yeah.
That's not real marriage.
It is.
Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. It's terrific. You ever read the Bible? Terrific. Great read. Not as good as The Art of the Deal. Second best book.
Second greatest story ever told.
So terrific.
Okay, I don't know if she's in Connecticut. I don't know where she is, but they're married.
Like, loser
she's
got state.
They got a real marriage. She married a young blonde policewoman. She's attractive. She's a professional. She's a cop. She's, you know.
She's got no balls.
Okay.
Remember when Mr. Trump, pre-President Trump, called her degenerate all the time? Like, she's a degenerate.
Yeah, degenerate. Yeah. All right, so what do we think? Do we want to chime in? God, it feels
Alyssa to me.
There'd be more vitriol if it was Rosie, but there might be more vitriol if there was Alyssa Milano.
I agree.
I'm going Cher.
I'm going Rosie.
I got a song called Half Hunch, and I'm going with Cher.
The blog belongs to Alyssa Milano.
Oh, no.
Who's the boss loser?
Oh,
do we have the tweet?
Yeah. Saying she's a loser?
She was born with a penis.
Oh wow.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a true story.
Should not know that.
Not fake news.
Born with both. No. We got another one. Here we go.
I just no longer find Trump trending topics or memes funny. I get sad and angry and depressed. Fuck Covfefe. Fuck it all. Stupid idiot. Mm. Is it Chrissy Teigen? Mm. Zoe Kravitz? Mm. Or Alyssa Milano.
Oh, Jesus, my God.
This one again.
All right.
Wait, is Zoe Kravitz Lenny Kravitz's daughter?
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a dude.
And Lisa Bonet, I believe.
Oh.
I think she's pretty beautiful.
She looks like a dude.
Wait a minute. Was she in Creed 2?
That's Tessa Thompson, you son of a bitch.
They look pretty damn close.
They do look alike, actually.
All right. You know Chrissy Teigen, Donald?
Yeah, she met her a couple times.
A couple times.
They hit on me very hard.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Really?
She seems very in love with her husband.
She wanted me very much. No, she's not that day.
She's married to John Legend.
Loser.
Oh, really?
Can't sing. Bad.
Oh, no. He sings.
No talent. Zero talent.
Plays the piano.
Terribly.
No, okay.
I could play the piano twice as good as that.
Better?
Twice as good.
Oh, twice. It's not just better. All right. Well, Chrissy Teigen, look, I like her because she like makes banana bread and puts it on the internet and stuff. She's always talking about eating.
She's sassy.
A muffin face. Looks like a muffin.
Oh, God.
I don't think she's attractive at all.
Okay. All right. Well, she was a model.
She's
and everything.
A two. Okay. She's a two. Wow.
Oh, she's a two. Okay. Then there's Zoe. Is it Zoe?
Zoe, yeah. Kravitz.
What does she do?
An actress.
Is she? I don't know.
Yeah, she's in tons of stuff that you're like, is that Zoe Kravitz?
Or is that the chick from Creed
2?
Yeah,
she's in a lot of movies.
All right, and then there's Alyssa Milano. I don't know. There's some cussing going on. I don't know. Does she cuss? I know she's bawdy and brassy and she's sassy. I'll go Chrissy.
I agree. I think this is Chrissy.
We're playing hunch, go Alyssa Milano.
What do you think, Donald?
I'm going to go with the... I'm going to go with the Kravitz guy-looking one because who would put her up there? She's a nobody. So, of course, you got to put her up there because it's her tweet.
Oh, so she's a nobody.
She wouldn't be someone you'd be like, maybe it's this one.
Right, I see. I see what you're saying. All right.
I'm a brilliant person.
The blog belongs to Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah!
That's not true. Fake news.
That's fake.
Kravitz tweet.
Kravitz.
Kravitz tweet.
Hashtag Kravitz tweet.
Hashtag.
Does she have the nose ring?
Zoe?
Yeah.
Like the septum ring.
I don't... That hurts me. Yeah, I know. Mm. I just don't like it. This doesn't help. Donald, you like aggressive piercings?
No.
You like a nose piercing?
Disgusting.
How about
How do you blow your nose? You got to take that out and blow your nose.
Yeah, what about the lip piercing?
It's not practical.
No?
Lip piercing.
Yeah, like how to eat ribs.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
Right. What about the hood piercing? You know what I'm saying, Donald?
What's that?
Well, the hood is they call it a clitoral hood.
The clitoris is a rumor.
Oh, really? Doesn't exist?
No. I beg to differ about that.
Hold on. Let him talk,
the women.
Yeah.
Don't have an erotic area.
There's no clitoris?
their job, broads, is to accept the man, accept his seed, okay? Yeah. And there's no pleasure. They feel... Yeah. Women feel no pleasure when you have sex with them.
Well, okay,
that might
but,
be true in Donald's case.
But, yeah, but hold on.
Sheena, please, show some respect to our president.
So,
sorry, sir.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. And then, like I said, you know, global warming is one of those things, or climate change. Maybe there's scientists.
I wore a sweater
sides.
Yesterday. How could there be global warming?
Well,
if I'm wearing a sweater,
we'll just okay. We'll call it climate change. I'm saying maybe there's some arguments on that, but a clitoris hood,
right? Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
I looked for it. It's not there.
And I know you love the hoods, you know.
Oh, yeah. You talking about my hair?
No,
you
want to
go, bro?
The clan.
You want to go, bro? Oh, the hood. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are nice hats. I'm not saying. Look, I'm not agreeing with the people. Terrible. So terrible. But very nice outfits.
No, those looks are hoods. They're not hats.
Sometimes I'll put
a yarmulke,
hood on.
Like Jared Kushner. That's a hat.
That's a ridiculous thing to wear on your
that's
head.
That's a yarmulke.
Ridiculous. Too small.
It's almost like they're both saying we couldn't get further away in the headgear department. You know what I mean? Like we're diametrically opposed in things you put onto your head. Like the Klan right. guys are like, I want a hat that goes down to my waist. And the Jews are like, I want a little coaster doily that you have
that's
to
a
pin
good point.
On.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. It's like, I think it was invented by a guy who's going bald, had that little bald spot.
The Jews do have the, you know, they do the go, they have that middle. Crown that goes bald
and they have
back
the,
there.
They have the horns too.
What?
They have the horns, the Jews have the horns.
A horn hat?
The horns no, coming out of their heads.
You talking about that, like that pussy hat?
No, that's disgusting.
Okay. All right, do we got one more? Sorry.
This is an embarrassing night for America. We've let a hate monger lead our great nation. We've let a bully set our course. I'm devastated.
Cry me a river.
Is it Chris Evans?
Loser.
Mark Ruffalo.
Captain Loser. This guy looks like he just got divorced.
Or Alyssa Milano.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Oh, man. I know Ruffalo is very kind of aggressive politically.
He's not a fan.
He's out there.
He's not
does
a fan.
Does he look just divorced, Adam?
He has a just
divorce. He looks like I just got divorced.
He has a look that may suggest he was just divorced, but then you have Captain America. You have to love Captain America.
Terrible actor.
Terrible?
He's worse than Paul Newman.
Newman, God. Wait a minute.
Worst
he's
actor ever.
Wait a minute. I love Paul Newman.
If he didn't have blue eyes, you'd never hear from the guy.
Oh, my. I don't think you're being fair now. Now, Ruffalo says tons of... Ruffalo's happily married, by the way, I hear.
Indeed.
And look, I don't want to take any umbrage with that, but let's just call it married. We really don't know what's going on inside.
It's not up to us.
And believe me, it's not just about longevity. Okay.
Sometimes it's the opposite.
I mean, don't believe me. My point is this.
I've heard stories.
Let's not graft on a bunch of feelings. He's still married. Let's just call it that. He's not yet divorced.
He's steadily married.
Steadily married. Okay. Is it, what do you think, Gina Grad? Captain America?
Well, first of all, President Trump
Hulk.
Is Captain America.
That's true.
Have never heard a man use the word devastated unless it was like a devastating loss for the Super Bowl. So I'm going with my girl, young Alyssa Milano.
It's a good point. And Mr. Trump, President Trump, speaking of Captain
you
America.
You can just call me leader or emperor.
Leader or I see.
Fearless.
Emperor Trump.
Fearless leader.
Fearless Emperor Trump. speaking about Captain America, how about getting in the Uncle Sam outfit and doing a press conference?
Like, that's a terrific idea. That's terrific.
I think like you're patriotic, right?
Love this place. The middle part, anyway.
The middle part of this
love
place.
Love this middle part.
You love it, right? You like you're a nationalist, right? You love this nation.
Right.
You're middle nationalist, center nationalist, white center nationalist,
Nougaty
like nationalist, Nougat nationalist.
Right.
You like the center.
Exactly.
You like the white, fluffy, Nougaty.
Nice and fluffy and white.
Center of the country.
Right.
So we'll call you a Nougat nationalist.
I'm a Nougat nationalist.
Right.
Terrific.
All right. And you probably love Ted Nugent as well.
Terrific guy.
Who could be called Ted Nugent now.
To Ted Nugent.
Okay. So... how about getting in the Uncle Sam outfit, top hat,
terrific,
the whole nine.
I love this.
You go out, give your next press conference in the Uncle Sam outfit.
I love that. Terrific.
Uh-huh. Talking about the Nougaty nationalism.
Now that's a good outfit.
Oh, my
this
God.
This Captain America, he's got that little sissy shield.
Yes.
You don't need it.
Yeah. That's not going to stop a bullet.
chucking it around like a frisbee.
Yeah.
Loser.
Loser. All right.
Get a gun.
Get a gun. I'm kind of with Gene on this. I'm using her own very good logic to say Alyssa Milano. What do you think, Brad?
I'll go the other way just for variety's sake and say Ruffalo.
I think Sissy Loser would use a girl word. So I'm going to go with Sissy Loser, Captain Loser.
Captain Loser. All right.
The blog belongs to Captain Loser.
Captain Loser.
He said he was devastated.
He's devastated. Wow. Captain America.
He can't be devastated.
He's the kind of guy who uses the word niche. That's the kind of guy he is.
All right, let's do one more.
Oh, my
let's
God.
Let's just do one more.
I bet he tucks his junk. You know those kind of guys?
They stand in front of the mirror?
You know, Buffalo Bill?
They're alone. They want to see what it looks like if they had one of girl parts, so they tuck it back. Okay, who's next?
Doubling down on locker room talk, like all men do this, Trump's words are an attack on women. Mm. This pathetic excuse is an attack on men. Mm. Is it Alyssa Milano? Anna Kendrick.
Oh. I'd do her.
Or Sarah Paulson.
Ooh, good choices.
Oh, wait a minute. Sarah Paulson's
American Horror Story.
She was in OJ. She was Marsha Clark.
She's married to Rosie O'Donnell.
Holland Taylor.
That's someone different?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another blonde. Okay.
The mom from Two and a Half Men.
She's the mom from Two and a Half Men.
Holland Taylor, yeah, they were together.
She likes girls, though.
She is. I don't know a lot about her work.
She's a great actress.
Mm-hmm. Anna's kind of quietly angry.
Huh? She's got that pointy nose, no lip, no top lip anger face.
Do we have her on my list of women who would be least likely to enjoy sex with me or be disgusted to have sex with me?
She's a riser.
She should be on there.
Yeah.
She's on.
She's knocking on the door.
She's a hot stock. She's not cracked the top 20 yet. She's going to be there.
Just keep an eye on her, though.
Keep an eye on her. All right, Gina Grad, what do you think?
This is a tough one. Taking him to task for locker room talk.
Can you read us in one more time, Dawson, on this one?
Doubling down on locker room talk, like all men do this.
Hold on, for
Dawson, can you read in a girl voice? It's all girls.
Just for clarification, Donald.
Yeah.
Locker room talk is not discussion of locker rooms.
What?
Or the construction of locker rooms. Locker room talk
locker
would be...
Talking about locker rooms.
Would be dirty
talking about,
remember you and Billy Bush?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. That wasn't in a locker room.
Right.
That was in a bus.
Right.
But it was locker room talk in a bus.
We were talking about sports.
No. What I'm saying... Now, see, this is why... Okay. Forgive me, Gina, but this is why I want to take a moment.
Sure.
Right.
I feel like you can be a little bit of a literalist sometimes.
What does that mean?
Like when you hear locker room talk.
Fancy talk to me. Okay.
What I'm saying, locker room talk in your mind would be like benches, lockers,
towels.
Showers,
right, locker room
towels.
Talk. Talking about lockers.
Right.
Right.
That kind of weird wet, dry carpet. Kind of carpet. Yeah. You could get weird blue carpet with no padding. You could get wet, but it wouldn't get mildewy.
Not in a Trump locker room. All marble floors, solid gold lockers.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm talking about.
Platinum benches.
No, this,
terrific.
This is what I'm talking about. This isn't locker room talk, meaning talk about locker rooms.
Okay.
This would be two guys talking a little dirty and maybe degrading toward women. Like,
so
remember,
why do you say this is two guys talking a little dirty, degrading towards women talk? Mm. Got you there.
I think they just save time and call it locker room talk. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, locker room talk. Me and Billy Bush.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, you and Billy Bush.
Was that funny? He got fired and I got to be president. That's pretty funny. That was a good one.
If there was we should start a new game, which is called Stop
no
time.
One ever saw that
we
guy
stop
again.
Time, and we just stop time, and then I walk in and I go, "Hey, 7.5 years from now, one of you is going to be president. The other is going to be home watching daytime TV and crying."
Congratulations, President Billy Bush.
I know. Billy Bush in his mind.
Oh, and here's a tip: the guy who did all the pussy talk, he's going to be the one
right.
Who's the president. The guy who just nodded his head and went,
never
"Yeah, Donald, you'll
again.
Be the guy who gets shit canned." Okay,
I love it.
That was locker room, Donald. That was locker room talk.
I got it now.
In a bus.
In a bus. We were talking about locker room stuff. Okay, terrific, hilarious.
No, it's not locker
Billy
room.
Bush. Never hear from him again. He's sitting on TV every day.
Brian, do you think he knows?
I don't think he's ever going to get it.
Okay.
I got it.
It's not if you took a bus and put it in a locker room.
That's what you just said.
No.
You're going back on what you said.
Okay, forget it. He's got you. Caution up, yeah, bit of a.
All right, let's just push forward.
Okay.
I need to push forward.
Girl voice, please, so I can get the.
Doubling down on locker room talk.
What kind of girl voice is this?
Like all men do this?
Wait a minute.
Trump's
this
words.
Is the girl voice?
Trump's words
are. What kind of girls
are you
talking to, pal? I think you're dating dudes, man.
Trump's words are an attack on women. This pathetic excuse is an attack on men.
Okay. All right, I have a guess.
That's pretty erotic.
I know exactly who this is.
Oh. Anna Kendrick did not make the list of women who would be disgusted to have sex with me in 2017.
We have to shuffle that deck.
Yeah,
keep her on.
I think this is Anna Kendrick. I think it's saying just enough without getting getting dirty. I think it's Anna Kendrick.
Well, ironically, the chick who played Marcia Clark's hair is more fucked up than Marcia Clark's hair was in the early 90s. So I don't trust her.
You don't trust Sarah Paulson?
Well, it's weird. You played the part of a chick with fucked up hair, and now you went and fucked your own hair up, at least in this picture.
Still in character.
Still in character. I'm going Alyssa Milano.
So am I, Melissa Milano.
I know who it is. It's the messed up hair lesbian lady, because lesbianism's not a real thing. They're very angry at men. That's what it is. That's
what about Rosie O'Donnell and her partner? Yeah, I mean, they just got married.
Very mad at men.
Mad at men.
It was like a crude stereotype.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going with Paulson.
All right.
Survey says. We need a tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. The blog belongs to Anna Kendrick.
I like this.
We have a tie between Donald and Gina.
Okay, here we go. Let's do it.
Last time Donald would have had him.
Now, this is not a fair fight because the women's cranium is smaller than the man's, okay?
I'll take that action.
The brain is smaller?
The cranium's smaller, so they can't fit as many brains in there, okay? So this is not a fair fight between me and Gina.
Well, but she's willing to take you on.
It's okay, President Trump. I think I can do it.
Just saying, maybe we should give her a little handicap.
Okay.
Trump is a cancer on our democracy. He must be rejected by all patriots for the good of our national identity and values.
Ooh.
That's not even an insult. Cancer's good. Spreads around, grows.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you have anything to say about that?
I mean, he's not wrong.
All right. What do you think, Gina?
Is it George Takei?
Oh, sorry.
Or Alyssa Milano?
Oh, boy. Okay, this is a tough one.
Now, Donald, if you were chivalrous, you would go second.
I'm going to go first.
Okay, you didn't let me finish, but all right.
Okay, go ahead. Make your pick,
and then Gina, with the smaller brain, will, by default, de facto, get the other person.
Is this locker room talk?
No.
I'm a little confused.
I'm just saying, you're allowed to pick, or you could be chivalrous.
I want to hear it one more time, once in Chinese, so I can get the Takei vibe, and once as a chick.
I think he's Japanese.
Yeah. Oh, come on, same thing.
Okay. One more time. Doing the Chinese
one. Chinese first, please. Come on. You know what they sound like with the ping pong and everything.
President Trump, please.
He's Japanese. It's a different culture.
Hey, that's what I said, Chinese. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees. Come on, read the tweet.
Trump is a cancer on our democracy. He must be rejected by all patriots for the good of our national identity and values.
This guy can't change his voice at all.
No, he doesn't.
He's like Mel Blanc, small range, but really knocks it out.
He does what he does well, but he doesn't have a lot of range.
I'll bet my life that it was the Captain Sulu guy.
Oh, okay.
You think it was George Takei?
I think it was Sulu.
George Takei.
I put my life on it.
Okay.
Well, it's better that you went first because my small brain couldn't have made that choice first.
There's no way.
So I'll go with my girl Alyssa.
Okay, you lost.
The blog belongs to George Takei.
Oh.
That's right.
Wow, Donald, you came in here one.
That's right.
Chief
Commander. I know my losers. I know my losers.
All right, let's bring it home. Do we have an outro?
We do. Give me 1 second.
Sorry. All right, sorry. Nice job, Donald.
Wow.
Thank you.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
All right, let me tell you about betonline.ag. Holidays are upon us. NFL, NBA, college football, and basketball heating up. Only one place has you covered for all the action. Betonline.ag. You sign up today. 50% up. You get a 50% sign-up bonus with the promo code PODCAST1. Huge NFL matchups this week. Steelers and Chargers. Ooh. That is a good game. Saints at Cowboys. Cowboys coming on. NBA, Golden State at Toronto. College football, Alabama versus Georgia. College basketball, North Carolina versus Michigan. Lots of good games. Lots of fun wagering. Don't miss out. Visit betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag. And make sure you use the promo code PODCAST1. You get 50% sign-up bonus. Do it today. betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. All right, let's take a quickie break and we'll come back with the news and Kyle right after this.
Corolla Drinks presents A Very Mangria Christmas. December 7th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Come and enjoy some endless rant, mangria cocktails, and shitloads of holiday cheer. Featuring The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. Loxy. Sanguine and Shiny, and Roses and Cigarettes. As we raise money for Jenny Pagliaro's fight with cancer, with silent auction items like signed merchandise from Joe Coy, Brad Williams, Adam Ray, Craig Fitzsimmons, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, Rode Microphones, and My Job for a Day. Friday, December 7th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. More details at Corolla Drinks.
Spinning round and falling down, circling.